The Singapore Premier League returns after the international break, and the games are coming thick and fast.
It's a top-of-the-table clash between the Stags and the Sailors, and if last season was anything to go by, this one promises plenty.
We'll look ahead to a packed SPL calendar as well as review what the international window has delivered. This is the SPL Podcast. Hi everyone, this is Farah.
And this is Raushan. So after what felt like an eternity, to me at least, the international break is over and domestic football returns with the resumption of match day 6 in the Singapore Premier League.
And what better way to resume the chase for the crown than with a tussle between the top two as the Stags take on the Sailors. More on that very soon, but first we've got some international affairs to look back on, and joining us to do that is football agent Supremo and more recently the global head of athlete management at Knicks. It's none other than Khairul Ashraf. Khairul, welcome back to the show. It has been some time. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, spending a bit more time in out of Singapore lately, but always abreast of whatever that's happening and always in love with the game, but hopefully the game can be in love with us. Yeah.
All right, I'm very glad that you said you're up to date with everything. So let's start with the international break and start with the seniors before we move on to the juniors, because us at the final whistle, well, we always like to start with a little bit of good news before we move on to the not so good news. So a fairly fresh-faced national team competed in two matches, starting off with a 1-1 draw against Hong Kong before a 1-0 win over Macau. Only one place to start, and I guess that's with Lionel Tan. Khairul, I'll come to you first. Are you surprised by the impact he has made on his national debut? That's two goals for him to his name, because I for sure was quite surprised with how he performed on his debut. How about you, Khairul?
Two goals?
Yep. Well, one on goal, but you know, a goal is a goal.
Yeah. So Lionel has always, I know I've noticed him since he was in the teenagers, right? So it was him and Dominic, and there was also another centre back, an Indian boy from the sports school period during that time. So we thought that we had a generation of possible good defenders over there, and with Amirul also within the same age frame. Yeah, so I thought he has never been given the opportunity. I think at the end of the day, there's very thin differences, very fine lines between the... No, okay, you have your Safwan, and then you have Irfan, but then you also have Amirul and him, and then you will have your Jacob Mahler. So they are all very... Not much difference between them, but all they needed was an extension of time in the national team or to be called up, to be exposed. So I hope he will get more game time. Also, now being with LCS, it means that there will be continental competitions as well. So definitely there will be opportunities for him to increase his level of play over the next few years. Because at the end of the day, he's only 25, 26. You know, he's still a relatively young age for a defender. Yeah. So hopefully he can be a regular for the future.
Now, Raushan, Lionel aside, overall, what positives can our Lions take from these two matches, if any?
I mean, there has to be positives. Unbeaten after two games. Okay, performance-wise, still asking for a lot. Are we really struggling against the likes of Hong Kong and Macau? With all due respects to them, it's a bit surprising. But I think considering where we were at after the Mitsubishi Electric Cup, Nishigaya did opt to choose a fair few players who were fresh-faced, who were new. And I think that's one positive. We saw Joshua have the armband for the second game, which I guess... I was surprised that Joshua was given the armband so quickly, but I guess that shows that there is a lack of alternatives, or the guard is not ready to be handed over from the likes of Harish, Shadan, the senior players, right? So it was good to see the younger ones, to Khairul's point, step up. I say younger ones, while Anathan is 25. Lionel has scored 3 goals in his club career for Haugang. He matched that in 1 week with the national team. So I think that's quite a remarkable feat. No one saw it coming. Less, I don't think Lionel saw it coming, to be honest. But you can only take the opportunity that is given to you. I think that's important. It's not just Joshua who had the armband and Lionel, right? Ho Ai Loon also caught the eye. We saw the likes of Daniel Goh finally make a bow. in the long run, I hope the likes of Idraki can nurse himself back to fitness and hopefully do something for the national team as well, because as we will touch on later with the younger Lions as well, striking is a problem. Goals are a problem, not just for the under-22s, but for the national team as well. So to bring players who are exciting going up front, the likes of Daniel Goh, the likes of Idraki, hopefully then the Lions will be better placed than they were previously. So to answer your question, a fair few positives in terms of fresh faces, but a long, long way to go if we are to, you know, even think about challenging the other Southeast Asian powerhouses in the region.
Speaking of a long way to go and challenging, let's move on to the under-22s, because two matches played in the Malayan Cup, that's two matches lost, three goals conceded, and just the very one that they scored. A very tepid showing from our young Lions, to say the very least. Rasha, I'll come to you first for this. What does this mean for their SEA Games aspirations, if any?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, if any at all, right? Going into the Malayan Cup, this was... We spoke about it with Kide last week. We wanted a showing, not necessarily a result, a showing just to show that they are here to compete, especially after the Young Lions had a high of beating Haugang before the season broke for the international window. But nothing, nothing came of the Malayan Cup, and that's the honest truth. Nothing at all came of it. They were tepid. They didn't look up for it. Even playing at Jalan Besar, opening 45. Come on, you're playing for your national team. Is that all you got? And I'm leveling this criticism not just at the boys who played. I think the onus to go out there and attack the competition as it is needs to come from the management. And I know we always try and urge for patience, but I touched on it in the last podcast. We have forgotten how to win. That's the honest truth of this. The Young Lions celebrating Haugang like a cup final told you everything about how far and few victories are for them. And the Malayan Cup showed the likes of Cambodia are miles ahead of us. And it breaks my heart to say, but Malaysia look really, really good. And say what you want about them having a foreign talent scheme or anything like that, they have a sense of urgency. They have a desire to play for the badge. And I saw none of that from our under-22s. Again, going back to answer your questions, I don't think there's a lot of hopes for the SEA Games. It's just going to be another participation medal. I don't think we can expect much else. Khairul, perhaps you want to add something else about what you saw from the under-22s?
Yeah, I think, you know, It's funny that for me, when I look at the game, at the senior game, we're trying to blood in youngsters. And then when we have our under-23 at the Malayan Cup, you know, we have our youngsters and we know that they are not up to mark. So we know the problem now is we just don't have the talent at this point. Right? So for me right now, was the Malayan Cup actually important to have at this point? We could just have the under-23 play our national game, right? And have, because we're not having Haris over there, we didn't have Irfan, we didn't have all the regulars. Right? Might as well we just have our under-23s playing a step up, you know, and really bruise them and really play against top opponents. Because for me, you know, we know we're not out to mark, right? And then we know we need to build our youth. Then why we work with the 25s? We work with the 21s now, give them the maximum exposure possible. Right. So anyway, for me, you know, firstly, I don't know why. Firstly, again, I'll put it this out there. I don't know why Nishigaya is out there. Is there as our national team coach? No. Perhaps it's a policy from the FA to have younger players and give rotations to the captains, to find new players. And if it's a management policy, why do we need a foreign coach for that? Philip can do that. Right, Nazri can do that. Why do we need Nishigaya here? He doesn't have international experience. He wasn't a top youth coach or coach in Japan, right? So why do we need him over there? So to me, that's a puzzling situation. Second, I feel, you know, we do not have these talents, right? Right now, I think it's a result of 20 years of neglect at the youth teams. Right, and I think we are looking at it wrongly, totally. Right, why we don't need the Malayan Cup anymore? These budgets can be used straight away for the youth. We talk about the UTR. The UTR didn't kick off really. It hasn't really kicked off. You know what is it that has actually kicked off? Do we have our scholarship programs already? Do we have our players there already? We don't have it yet. We spoke about it 3 years ago, but up till now we don't have anybody there. We had two trips to Spain, but that's about it. Right, so for me is, you know, I speak to Ben Tan all the time. I speak to Clifton at Active Sports SG about this. I think there should be a bigger push for support to be given to them if they want to do the UTR properly. So there's a lot of lip service, I feel, that's been happening about this UTR program. If they're really serious about it, they should really relook into the leagues. There's no youth leagues. You know, the private entities are still running the leagues. So I think, you know, I see there's a lot of problems, and we are going to see this every time. We're going to have this discussion in the next international FIFA calendar, right? Because we're going to get screwed all the time. Macau and Hong Kong, how tough could that be, right? Yeah. So, I mean, we look at, I'm in Indonesia right now, and Indonesia just won Burundi, an African team with players playing in EPL, right? So you see the difference. You know, it's a matter of commitment of what we want to do for our national program. Yeah.
I mean, Cairo has made his thoughts and his stance on this UTR project very, very known. Rashan, where do you stand on this one? What is the best way forward then for us?
I mean, the best way forward has to be something, some sort of action, right? I take Cairo's point wholeheartedly. It's not just 10 years of neglect like Coach Philip touched on in the post-match. It's 20 years of neglect that's left us in this situation. To that end, I'm going to put it out there. I find the timing of the UTR announcement like very puzzling. Like on the weekend that you are hosting the Malayan Cup, the Friday that we don't make it to the final, suddenly over the weekend, all this UTR news comes out. The word lip service does have to spring to mind, right? I'm not throwing criticism for criticism's sake, but I'm not stupid lah. The timing of it does seem a bit odd, doesn't it? But anyway, the best way forward, I guess, if the UTR project is the best way forward, and at the end of the day, who are we to make those decisions? There are people making those decisions. The plans look good on paper, but I still stand by the fact that we've been here before. We've had white papers, we've had grand manifestos, we've had grand ideas that haven't really seen the day of light. So I'm just praying and hoping that this UTR will be different. But when I spoke to Deepan, who obviously wrote those articles on UTR, he seems to take solace from the fact that there is fresh perspective coming into this one, right? The likes of Ben Tan, who takes credit for what the Thai League is today, is involved. There are various other dimensions, bringing in ex-pros for their experience and stuff like that. So my hope is, because the echo chamber, that is the FAS, is not entirely handling this, and there are other people going in with a fresh set of eyes and new objectives, I'm hoping the UTR will come to fruition. I just don't know whether they're going to lose too many fans in the search for the next achievement, right? Because it's going to take a while. It's going to take 10 years, they say on paper. I believe it will take much longer than that. Whether me and you and Khairul will still be doing a podcast in 10, 15 years, time will tell. But it requires a lot of patience from the fans. And I say this, I've said this before, I'll say it again. I think Singapore football is at a state where it needs fans on site. So there needs to be a quick fix while there is this desire to improve the long term. So I think it's a big, big problem. If UTR is the way forward, then I think we all need to support it as much as we can. But we need to see them walk the talk more than just talk the talk, because that's what is lacking at the moment, action.
Well, the good thing is, there is still hope. We have not given up hope on this. So, like you said earlier as well, Roshan, and Khairul as well, you know, we will still be talking about this in the next international break and in years to come. So, hopefully, it will be a step up in the years to come. Now, let's move on to the SPL and let's preview the weekend's action. And let's kick off with the big one. Two teams separated by just a point, each with 4 wins apiece in 5 games. The clashes between Tampines and the Lion City Sailors have always been tasty. This one kicks off on Friday, tomorrow, 8:30 p.m. at our Tampines Hub. And this one has some extra spice considering they both look like title contenders this season. Now, Khairul, I'll come to you first. What has impressed you the most about Tampines this year?
I think the recruitment. I think one thing that I think Gavin has done well this year. I know for a fact Tampines has has always had budget issues in the last years. In fact, now also, you know. But I think this year, I think they've stretched it a bit more, right, to be able to bring some depth into the team. And I think also, you know, it was nice to have Mehmedovic before in midfield, and then you have your Shahisha, and you have your captain. What's his name? The captain.
Yasser.
There was a lot of attacking flair in the last years, but I think there was no balance in it. And this year, I think the balance is key. They know that they have a good strike force. They know they have a good play. Players are maturing in midfield. The players that they have been introducing have improved, and then now they have a centre back that looks decent, right? So I think they know now. You know, the balance is key. You want to have expensive football. You can play attacking football, but you need to, you know, they always say, you know, when you want to attack somebody's home, you have to take care of your home first, right? So now everything is being taken care of, and I like the look of Tampines now. And we know a philosophy like Gavin's to be adapted and adopted in a local context is difficult. But it takes a long time, and he has been given that time by Desmond, right? So on that, I mean, I've had issues with a lot of things that Tampines does, like 5-year contracts and stuff like that, right? But what I like is that Desmond gives time to Gavin, right, and gives the support. This is the kind of football that they want to play. They put it in, and it has matured, right? And this maturity can be seen this year. So I for a fact think that it'll be a two-horse race, or not say a two-horse race, but the top two will be the two that we'll see the next in the next games tomorrow, right? So I think it'll be an exciting game. I think Tampines has the edge on this game, especially Lion City. I think has been affected by a lot of changes. To know that Pedro is not able to come back and they have to change Supe into the team, to have Bill playing at centre back, a lot of disruptions with Anu at the back, you know, and then now with Kodai injured, yeah. So also we know also there's going to be a replacement for Kodai, but at the same time you have to smile a little bit thinking, you know, they have injuries and they are replacing the replacements. Right, so it's quite an amazing thing, you know, because I've been in football in Singapore for some time, and you know, Singapore will never have you don't sack your coaches midway, you don't change your foreigners midway, even though they don't perform, they're last of the table, they don't win for 13 games or 12 games, right? Yeah, they don't get sacked, right? So, but this is the reality, this is how it is. But then you have something like Lion City where they are ambitious, they have a little bit more money, and this is what we want in our league. You know, we want this little bit of ability to spend, ability to make the league exciting. Imagine if Lion City didn't replace Kodai and didn't replace Pedro. What would happen, right? I mean, those, no disrespect to the players that are there, but you know, what would happen? They're going to play Champions League. You know? Yeah, so that's for me. But for tomorrow's game, I feel Tampines will have the edge. Lion City needs a bit more time, especially with the new coach. Yeah, so I hope to see Lion City find a sweet spot of performance in this run of games after the international break. Yeah.
Now, Raushan, you've sung your praises for Tampines throughout the season already, so I'm not going to ask you about Tampines, but how do you think the Lion City Sailors are going to come into this one? How do you see this one playing out? Very quickly, before we get into our predictions.
So unfair. Why you don't want to ask me about Tampines? I'm a Tampines boy. Tampines at heart.
Enough, really. You've already said so much about Tampines.
Okay, this time I'll try to answer your question. By the way, I really like what Tampines are putting out. The Lion City Sailors, I like Kide's, Cairo's point a lot about them having the ability to replace the foreigners as and when they like, basically, right? Now they know Pedro is not back for a long, long while. He's not going to make it for the season. They signed the centre-back. They were rocked by the injury to Tanaka and that defeat to Albrecht. They've gone out and signed Bernie Ibni, who comes with clout, not necessarily the goals based on track record, but comes with clout. So it does bode well that Lion City Sailors, who were supposed to be on a lesser budget this year because of Shopee's troubles, still going out and flexing their muscle that way. And I think it's important that the new coach gets the players he wants as well, because then he cannot have any excuses for not performing, right? But to Cairo's point, I think they will take a while. I think they're still trying to find their balance in terms of new signings coming in, Harris stepping up to midfield, and various moving parts for their team. They've let a whole host of staffs go, but they still have two of the best foreigners in the league in Diego and Max, and that always will make them tick, right? And then you throw someone like Bernie, who, based on videos, based on papers, looks like a guy who will get you goals provided he's working. I mean, if, with all due respect, if Abdul Razak can score goals playing together with Diego and Max, I'm sure Bernie Ibni can. I'll be glad if they clip this out if I'm proven wrong, but I highly doubt I will be. So I do think the Lion City Sailors are in a good way, but to Kyle's point, they might take a while to set themselves in motion. For Tampines, they beat Albrecht last time out. That's always good, but they go into this not with the greatest record against the Lion City Sailors. We know it's tasty. We know the touchline can be exciting. We know there can be red cards. There can be fire between the chairman or whatever you want to say. But as results go by, they've only won one in their last nine against the Lion City Sailors. However, I think on Friday, they will buck that trend and get the result because Tampines are the informed team. And Khairul touched on it there. I know I'm not supposed to talk about Tampines, but very quickly, Khairul touched on it there, the timing of recruitment, right? I think in this aspect, they have timed the loosening up their purse strings very well. They have been on a difficult budget, but they know Gavin's project is maturing now. If I tamba a bit of money now, perhaps it can flourish a bit. I think that's the approach they've gone for. And you can see it this season, early days yet, but they have caught the eye in terms of balance, addressing the deficiencies at the back and giving Faris Ramli a good home to play, right? So I think Faris will score the winner in this one against his former club.
Okay, since you're already there, give us a prediction then.
Okay, 2-1 Tampines.
Shock. Khairul, what about you? Your predictions, please.
3-1 Tampines.
3-1 Tampines. All yeah. right. Okay, well, we'll see how that one plays out. Now, let's move on to the next one. Same time, Friday, 8:30 p.m. kickoff at the Hougang Stadium. It's Hougang United up against Brunei DPMM. Now, we've spoken at length about Hougang. In fact, we've dedicated a whole segment to them on the last show. So, my question to you, Khairul, is I'm coming straight in. Would Firdaus Kassim have spent the time off well enough to turn their fortunes around now, Khairul?
I'm sure it's going to be another period of reflection and review and, of course, implementation of new things. I mean, not new things, implementation of corrections to review and improve on what they've done. Also, I think, you know, again, Hougang has always been like this, isn't it? Yeah, it's like there are good moments and then there'll be the poor moments, the bad moments, right? So, and then the good moments are good and the poor moments are really poor. Yeah, so, but I hope they will change it, because the thing is, they have a good balance in the team. Yeah, they have a good depth in the team. But there's certain balances that are not there yet. You know, like last year, there was problems at the back. This year, I mean, we like the look of the two Japanese guys, right? And then, I mean, we can speak about Brian, right? Brian and hasn't been up to mark compared to what he was in Indonesia and Malaysia, right? And then, of course, we do not have someone up there. The likes of Bertolozzo can be have a presence up there. Yeah, even Moritz, as slow that he is last year, right? But he was, you know, he was a smart player. He knew what to do. He knew how to move. He knew how to move his teammates and stuff. But to me, again, it has to step up. The team has to step up. They have to push themselves further. And they're playing DPMM. DPMM is struggling at this point. Right, we know DPMM went 3 years playing in their local league, which they win games like nobody's business. You know, I speak to Charlie Clough often, and when he was there, he was saying that, you know, he cannot believe that he was playing at this level because he was so low. Right, but it definitely has an effect on the team, the DPMM team, and DPMM is a team that is based on power, based on aggression, and if you take 2 years playing where you cannot be playing on the edge, you cannot be playing. You're playing close to your best, you're giving 20%, you can never build on that power and aggression and the kind of game. So I think the game tomorrow is a game that Hougang should take. And it should be something that they use as a benchmark, as a bounce point, yeah, for them to start making sure that they are right up there with the rest of the front runners in the league. Yeah.
So, what is your prediction for this one then, Khairul?
I think Hougang can and should win this 2-0. They should, yeah. Because I think they'll be able to, you know, I think at the back, they're strong enough. Voronko is not a pressing striker. The back line will take eat him up. I think they should, right? But I think the goals, something could have been corrected in the front four between Gabriel and Amy or Hazwan and Brian. You know, there's so much talent there. There's so much goals there. Hazwan scores goals. Gabriel scores goals. Amy scores goals. There should be goals over there, right? So Yeah, I think 2-0 is a safe bet for me.
Now, Roshan, Khairul is saying they can and they should. What do you think?
I'm not as optimistic as Khairul. I think I know Brunei haven't been the Brunei of the old, the reigning one-time champion, once the champions of the Singapore Premier League, right? I think Hougang will still struggle to find their feet slightly, but I think this one ends in a draw for me. So 2-2 between Hougang and Brunei.
All right, now Khairul's about, okay, we'll see how that one plays out. Okay, now moving on, Saturday also 8:30 p.m. kickoff. Well, they're all kicking off 8:30 p.m. from now on for the rest of the month. This one at our Tampines Hub between Geylang International and Albirex Niigata. Now, the reigning champions are unbeaten no more after suffering a 1-0 defeat to Tampines Rovers the last time out. So, the question is, it's very simple, can they bounce back against Geylang, Khairul? Well, I'm assuming they should, right?
I think they should, right? Albirex actually looks quite decent this year. You know, it's just that when they played Tampines, I think Tampines had a better game plan, and they had good, I mean, Tampines have better individual players also offensively, right? So I think, I mean, where they're playing is not important, whether they're playing Tampines or whether they're playing Jurong is not important, but I think Geylang wants to secure, because they've played more games than any team, right? And I think they want to be in the front running seat, because then they will be putting pressure on the others. Albirex, definitely they feel the impact of the loss for sure. You know, and I know King Kazu is not someone who will take that lying down, right? So I think Albirex will take this. I think Albirex will edge this, maybe 2-0 or 2-1. I mean Geylang, with all their new signings and their interesting signings, I think, you know, they are doing good things also. I must put it, you know, I'm quite impressed that they're getting in the partners like First Kick Academy and all these brands coming in, but also it's because of the partnership that they have now with Citigroup, right? So everybody's interested to be with them. So right now they have to prove it, you know, on the field. So, but at the end of the day, this game at this point for me, it's an Albirex win. Yeah.
Now, Roshan, I'm not sure if you remember what you said about Albirex last season.
I think the whole world remembers at this point.
I just wanted to remind you of that. Your prediction is just one season too late. Is it? Do you still stick by what you said last season? It's just that now it's happening this season.
No. I think last season, again, I still stand by it. Albirex didn't win the title. LCS lost the title. But okay, Albirex still deserve to be champions. Back to this season, though. I think we cannot take the table too seriously in the early days. So Albirex will be in the mix. I'm just happy, in all likelihood, there will be two Singaporean teams also in the mix. So that should give us an exciting fight, which we've been craving for the past 3-4 seasons now, right? Coming back to your question, I think Albirex will easily bounce back in this one against Geylang International. Khairul's point for the second time, I'm sorry. Khairul's point is absolutely true. I think King Kazu is not one to take a defeat lying down. He's going to have spent the time off reinvigorating his charges, and hopefully they can get a result against Geylang International. I think Albirex will be up for this one, and I expect them to beat Geylang quite comfortably. 3-0 to Albirex for me.
3-0. Did Khairul say his prediction?
Yes, he did.
I said 2-0. So both
Khairul and Roshan, they're going for Albirex wins, which not surprising at all. So let's move on to the final match of this match week, which is Tanjung Pagar up against the Young Lions. This one is happening at the Jurong East Stadium. Kickoff again, 8:30 p.m. Now, we've spoken at lengths about the Young Lions, so let's focus on Tanjung Pagar for this one. 3 losses and 1 win in their opening 4. Safe to say, they have not hit the heights of last season in the early stages. Now, Hasreen had previously said the early days are like pre-season for him and his team. Can they now dust off the cobwebs and push on, especially against a downbeat Young Lions side, Khairul?
I think before we start on Tanjung Pagar, of course I want to start something on Tanjung Pagar, but before I start on this Tanjung Pagar, I think this season, I mean, for me as a football agent, right, when I look at the league, right, it's always about the players, right, whether the local players or the senior the foreign players. So that's key for me, right? So, and I think this year somehow or other the foreign players have been like the most uninteresting group of foreign players ever in the last few years, Yeah. So and then when we take Tanjung Pagar for example, right? The first game of the season we have both their foreigners there, two out of the four foreigners injured, right? And one look in a very bad state. I mean, the striker, I know him, I've seen him before. He's quite a fox in the box, right? But on a certain level, he will perform, but I'm not so sure at our level. Yeah, so that's why, for me, I think it's been very disappointing. Yeah, so on that part, I want to say, because I think for clubs like Tanjung Pagar, it's key who they have as a foreigner. Because last year, you know, I mean, the striker, what is his name? What is...
Rio Japanese Nishiguchi.
Yes, Rio. Nishiguchi. Yeah, Rio was fantastic, right? And of course, he was there for 2 years. The first year, he was okay. But the second year, he was amazing, right? Yeah, and why didn't they retain him, right? And I don't see why not. No, Rio is a nice player. And of course, I know over the course of a season, of course of seasons, players will ask for more salaries and stuff. But of course, he's doing that for you. Yeah, yeah, and then you get a Brazilian who's coming from Thai Division 3. Where is the wisdom in this kind of signing? Right, so that's for me. So now when I look at Tanjung Pagar, especially when they set up previously, they had Blake playing at left inside forward. No, what kind of structure is that? Yeah, so even if you are in preseason, or you need games, or you need a run of games to make sure you're ready for the league. I don't understand the structure of Tanjung Pagar at this point. Yeah, so I hope they improve. I hope they improve. I think there's some good local players there who's fighting for the team and wants to do it. But I think this year again, you know, like again, last year we talked about Tanjung Pagar and then they surprised us, right? But I've always had this idea of Tanjung Pagar that, you know, they are that. They are not a team that can excite, really excite. They are not a team that can challenge for anything. Yeah. So and this year, I really see them close to be where Young Lions would be in the league. Yeah. So but anyway, if we talk about score lines. I don't know. Maybe I'm calling a draw on this game. Yeah.
Roshan, where do you lie on this one? How do you see this one playing out?
I think Khairul makes some valid points on the foreigners. It has been, in terms of Tanjung Pagar's foreigners, not really inspiring. Letting go of Nishiguchi seems a bizarre move, especially considering the striker they signed is a good friend of Mirko Sujit. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a bit weird in that sense. So, I can agree. But I feel like Tanjung Pagar almost have accepted that last season they outperformed themselves. So, last season was an anomaly for them. This is their actual self. In terms of, again, the table is too early to say with the table, but they are happy to just a season of consolidation. I think that's what they're expecting in terms of the signings. Having said that, to Khairul's point, they have a fair bunch of good Singaporeans, and I think Blake Risciuto is still their best foreigner at the moment. So hopefully they can cobble something together to not finish plumb last. I just feel going into this one, the Young Lions, why are the Young Lions playing this week? I cannot understand it. Why are Balestier Khalsa getting a free bye this week? I mean, the Young Lions have spent basically the international window playing international football, and then the fixture gods have given them a fixture this week. I cannot understand it, but anyway, that's out of my system. I do think Tanjung Pagar will easily beat the Young Lions for this one. I think the Young Lions at the moment, actually, I know why they are playing, because they need to clear games because of the SEA Games. But anyway, it's again, you know, it's just making numbers. So I feel like Young Lions, their mind is probably already in Cambodia. They're already thinking about how they can rectify the mess that is the Malayan Cup. So from now until whenever they depart to Cambodia, is just going to be passing for them, and Tanjung Pagar will be no different. I think Tanjung Pagar will easily beat them 2-0 in this one.
Oh, Khairul, are you going
to
say
just putting it to Roshan. Yeah. The SEA Games will be managed by Nishigaya, right?
Will it be managed by Nishigaya? This will be news to me. I thought it's Philip.
I think that I'm not really sure, but I think it's Nishigaya who's going to manage the SEA Games, because I know there were some candidates who applied for the Young Lions job, right? And they were told that they will not be taking the SEA Games team, but I don't know. I would like to know this also.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a question for our listeners, because I clearly am not in the know. It's a question for one listener in particular. Deepan, if you're listening in, please go get the answer for us. But yeah, as far as I know, I think it's Philip who will manage the team. I would be surprised if it's Nishigaya, unless it's for competition experience, because Nishigaya needs some competition experience, right?
Yeah, in Singapore.
Exactly.
Well, like Raushan said, this is a question for our listeners. So anything, you know what to do, because that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you to Cairo for coming on, and Raushan, of course, both gracing us with your valuable insights as always. And we hope you enjoyed this one back at home from wherever you're listening from. Don't forget to hit us up on our socials as always for anything over at The Final Whistle, and of course to Farhanaya and Raushan Says as well. Till next time, bye-bye.